life is not measured by, you know, how famous you become, how much money you make, how much stuff you have, because you don't take any of that with you. Life's measured by, really, by one thing. It's measured by what you leave behind in the lives of others around you. EB has definitely left his mark, his imprint, his influence on so many people, and only some of whom are here to be are here with us today. We're designed for relationship. It's every one of us. It's hardwired in us. It's what makes life so amazing is this thing called relationship. You know, when you think back to your favorite memories in life, it's not usually what you were doing that mattered so much. It's like who was there when you were doing it. And EB, you know, as you look at the pictures, there's a seemingly endless list of who's that he had in his life, whether it was family, people on the pier, all the, you know, folks from Parkview Meadows, anybody he met, it was like instant friendship. It's those kind of relationships that make life amazing, and it's those same relationships that make days like today so, so difficult. We kind of knew that this day was coming, but it doesn't make it easy. Mel sent an email a couple days ago, and she just said at the end, "What a great man to remember, but oh so sad to have to say goodbye." And it's so true. What a great man, but so sad to say goodbye. We knew EB in a lot of different ways. For some, he's a father. For others, a brother. For some, an uncle. You know, for others, a friend. You know, a co-worker, a co-fisherman on the pier. But to so many, he was Paka. And today, I want to invite some of his daughters up to share some of their memories of their dad. So Deb, Sue, and Lori, I'd like to invite you guys to come up and share some memories. Can you use this one? Oh, sorry. It's on the schedule.
That's mine, Mark.
No problem.
First of all, thank you all for coming in and helping us share in Dad's life, because it was quite the life. Some people have relationships, like Mark just said, from past and from present. But every stage of Dad's life, he seemed to keep them all going. Anybody you talk to, it was amazing, amazing. And today I'll be jumping everywhere. We'll see how this goes, okay? He was the best father in the world. If you knew Dad at all, you know true love, true happiness. Because that was Dad. Okay, Aiden, where'd Aiden go? Aiden, can you come up for a minute, share your story? He has a story of Dad that just only happened probably about 6 weeks ago. So I'm going to tell you Dad had his wits about him. Okay, you want me to hold it while you do it?
I'll just put it right here.
Oh, your eyes are good, bud.
So a few months ago, me, my mom, and my Aunt Miranda went to go visit Paka at his retirement home. When we were walking into the room, his PSW was just leaving, and he had a few things to say about her. He thought that she stayed a little bit too long when she was helping him out, but he told us that he fooled her. He said that the other day, he told her that he wanted to go for a walk. So they walked down the hallway and got in the elevator, and when they got to the bottom, he let her go out, but he stayed on. And he told her that he forgot his keys in his room. He had to go grab them. But he told us that he did that on purpose. So he went back up to his floor, walked down the hallway. He got in his room, and he locked the door. He told us that he may be old, but he's still got a few tricks up his sleeve. So then my mom told him that, well, next time, if she stays too long, just say that you're tired and you want to take a nap. He said, well, I'm afraid she might crawl in there with me. So by then, I was laying on the couch laughing my head off. And the best part is that PSW ended up being one of his favorites. Oh, Paka.
Dad got such a kick out of when he told the story to Aiden, because he said Aiden always stays so calm, and you know, but he said he was honestly laying on my couch laughing. He said he thought it was so funny. So, okay, here we go. It was so easy to learn from Dad because he walked it all. From enjoying every happy occasion and walking through every heartache, he did it openly. You never had to guess how he felt. And so in saying that, I want to be, if I can be half that kind of a person. As a young child, I followed my dad everywhere. So many memories of doing outside chores with him. I never felt that I was in the way. I'm sure his chores after work would have went a lot faster without me. Am I holding this right? Because it sounds funny. But, yeah, thanks. But he made me feel like I made it faster. As an adult, I know the truth. He had four daughters, and he made each one of us feel so important. All our husbands had a lot to live up to because of him. Dad always said they were his sons, not son-in-laws. When people would say that to him, he said, oh, you had all daughters? He says, yeah, but now I have four sons. And they'd say, oh, sons, he said. And that was Dad. There was no in-law, outlaw. He taught and led by example. Can only say a few things, but I think of one time when Beppa, my mom's mom, was in the hospital, and near the end, Beppa was always a slow eater, and Dad had early retirement then because of his heart problems, and he would go every day at lunch and supper time for the hospital time to feed her lunch, because if he didn't, then they took the tray away because Beppa took too long. Oh boy, this is going to throw me off. Here I go. I shouldn't have done that. Should keep looking. But that's what Dad taught us. Like when he said to us, oh, you girls and you kids, you all look after me so well, you know. And I said, yeah, but Dad, that's what you taught us. You taught us. You taught each one of our kids how important they were to you. Like even when Henry and I were working or something, Miranda had a part-time job at a cherry factory. Dad, bang. Oh, yeah, I'll pick her. I'll bring her. Not only bring her, but, you know, bring her back home again. And those are things he did. So for all our kids here, that's just how it was. Okay. But he also taught us how to admit when we were wrong. It's hard to imagine because he was such a sweet man, such a sweet grandfather, and he was a sweet dad too. But he had four daughters. So once in a while, there needed to be discipline, and we're not going to say who needed the discipline at all. That doesn't matter. But anyways, he would get a little upset and maybe lose his temper, but not in a bad way. He would raise his voice, okay, and we got sent up to our rooms. One was talking the whole way up, and we're sitting there. But anyway, so we were upstairs, but in 10 minutes after we were up there, and the one person would say to you, oh, he'll be back up, he's going to apologize. And we're sitting there, be quiet, you know. And I didn't say it was you. But, no, that's right. Worse story. Well, anyways. And that's what Dad did. Then he came upstairs. We deserved to be punished, but he apologized for being upset with us and would give us a hug, and on we went. And I always thought too with my kids, can I remember to do that? I don't think I did it as often as Dad did, but they're not going to share, so we don't have to hear that side. His love for Mom. Dad was an affectionate man. I just so remember times too, he'd go and he'd be by the table and he'd give Mom a hug, and Mom would go, oh, or he'd kiss her on the cheek, you know. But for us, it was good because we learned that. Mom was a balance to Dad, that was for sure. And when Mom was gone, the hard thing for Paca and Dad was he didn't ever want us to forget her. He didn't want the kids to forget her. We were very lucky that we had a father who allowed us to talk about Mom, and it blessed Dad. Like some people say, like, didn't that hurt when, you know, your grandchildren come up with stories? Didn't that? He said, yeah, it made me sad, but I was so happy that they remembered her, you know, and that was important to him. Then there's a little story, another to go in with that. Bella, thank you, was born a little later behind the others. Mom had always said she knew the reason why Bella was born later in life. She was to help Dad through some tough times. Dad was with Mom when she suffered a lot. And Mom, the other girls were in school and stuff, but Bella was still home. And Bella idolized Mom and Dad. So Mom would just say when it was a bad afternoon and she didn't want him listening to her coughing, he would say, go see Bella. I think she wants to see you. And she would say, when Dad would come back later, he was just, the eyes were life again. That was Bella's call in life, and she did it so well. Even after Mom was gone, Mom said, she is going to walk you through this. And she did. She knew in Dad's house, Mom's home, where everything was, where Grandma had everything, and heaven forbid, we tried to do a little cleaning once in a while and didn't put something back. Bella came in and put it back where it belonged. She would say little things to him. Do you want to share the story?
I got a few. I know. Oh, I'm gonna let you talk. After my mom's funeral, we had my dad with us, and we took him home. And I hated leaving him there by himself, but he was right beside us. But we said, you come over for supper after. So he came over, and it was sad, but we had dinner. And then after dinner, most of us were cleaning up, and I told Dad to go sit on the chair and just rest. And Bella cuddled up in his lap, and she just cuddled into him, and they just sat there for, I'd say, an hour. And then they read some stories together, and that was just his unwinding for Mom's funeral. It was, yeah, she was just there for him. She was just telling me this morning, whether I didn't know or I forgot, but after Grandma died, this is about a week or so later, I guess it would be in the spring, because they were sitting on the porch, and Aunt Paca was telling her how Grandma was looking down on them. And so I guess Bella waved, and she had said to Paca, she says, you make sure when you get to heaven that you wave down to me. And so she just told me that this morning. It's like, oh. And, when we used to go on vacations, most kids love going on vacations, but as the vacation day that we were leaving came closer, Bella would get sadder and sadder. And probably, usually the day we're leaving, she'd be in tears because we had to leave Paca. And the worst thing is, he wanted to wave as we were driving out the driveway all the time. So our holidays always started out quite tense, that first little bit. So, because he would be waving on his porch, and that would just do Bella in. But yeah, they did have such a bond. Because he was at our house every day after Mom died, too. Every day he was, and Bella was still, she was in JK, so she was home every other day. And yeah, they had a bond.
And so, like I said, I'm jumping everywhere. When Dad moved to Brookview, it was very hard for him and us as well. Because he was leaving his home with Mom. And that was hard. But to talk about the strength that Dad had, that he was good when he went, and he knew that he had to go just to go when he was good there and learn, you know, to adapt to that life. But it was nice because Joe and Lori, like, bought his house, and they let it sit for a while so Dad could sneak over and pop in every once in a while. Lori, look, and there's Dad's van over there. It's a good thing when nobody's moved in yet. You know, but he loved, in turn, then the lady that's moved in there now, and Dad just loves how she's keeping everything there. Yep, just like Mom did. Who would have thought? The last 6 months or so were hard as his health declined, and he didn't like it that way. It got harder for him to do things. But before he would pop by. Sometimes I would come from work, and there he was, sitting by in the summertime by my patio table, like it was out on the grass, and I go, "Oh, Dad," because sometimes Henry wasn't even home. And a couple times he was there, Henry was in the house, didn't know he was there. He just drove up and sat outside and said it was just nice to look at the birds and watch what's going on. But that was Dad. And then we'd chat for a while. When the kids would all come down, let's say, for his birthday or just a Sunday or whatever, they were coming down, and we would then go pick Dad up, or Miranda and Eric lots of times would pick Dad up from Brookview and bring him on over. For Dad, he got life watching the children. Not watching us. And not our grandchildren, but the great-grandchildren. And to see how they're all getting along, it just gave Dad life. And then he'd have some food. Yeah, he'd ate a little bit. One time when, yeah, I don't want to reread that one. That would suck, eh? Not much. When I was bringing him home the one day, and it was on, that's not even a 5 minute drive. He would say at least 3 times, "Thanks so much. It was so nice watching the kids." Okay. And then on New Year's Day too, we had him down, and he was pretty tired that day. And so it was starting to get loud in the living room. I said, "Dad, you know, I can take you home now." And he says, I just about woke him up because, I mean, he was half sleeping there. "Oh, no," he says, "I like watching the kids." And that sums up what was important to Dad. Now fishing, and I won't be long on that one. At first, after Mom died, I would go and sit by the pier and spend some time with Dad on the pier fishing. He was fishing. Soon then, I took a pole and started fishing, and so now I got hooked on it. But I see why Dad went there. Yeah, hurry up. A pun? Okay. But I understand why he was there. Dad had another whole family over there that I never knew. And they looked after him. He looked after them. He shared with them everything any of you grandkids did. People on the pier know. They listened. But they couldn't believe. They said, "This man loves his family so much." Sometimes people... We weren't always fishing side by side. Dad had his reasons for moving down. But anyways, I was fishing, and somebody would come up and say, "That man over there, oh, man, what a nice man he is. The other day I was here with my grandson, and he said to him, 'Hey, take my pole. Do you want to reel it in?' Because he knew there was a fish on there, but the little child didn't. And to watch the kids' eyes light up when they reeled in a fish and stuff, some people thought it was silly because that kid could have lost that fish. But to Dad, that's what it was about. Later, like last year too, if he would go fishing, these guys were out there knowing what my rules for Dad were, how far he had to stay away from the edge and stuff. So they always checked. They said, "Deb said we had a watch, you know." But they set him up with his walker. They have a pail upside down with his minnows so he didn't have to bend over for it. With minnows, they caught. But, you know, that's the man he was. And the feeding canyon. Okay. Our faith is what walks us through these times. For us to imagine a heavenly father was very easy because of our earthly father. It's sad that there's a few words we will never hear no more, like Tylenoid. Dad could not say Tylenol. It was always Tylenoid. And Clody couldn't say Chloe. And they were so happy to see me. Sometimes I think he meant that he was happy to see them, but in the Dutch translation, it went the other way, but sometimes he did think they were happy to see him. His smile, his crooked smile, without his teeth, it was a crooked one. every day in the hospital is what carries us through. With Dad, there were no words left unspoken. We had that chance to let him know what we felt about him and what he felt about us. And if I can say anything to anybody here, do that. If you want to honor our father, do that. Say how you feel. Don't expect those in your life to know how you feel just by actions. Say it. Hug them. Do whatever.
I think that's good.
Again, just want to say thank you all for coming and supporting the family. From an early age, all I can remember is my dad loved to sing. Whenever we drove, we don't have all the fancy stuff we have these days, but he would always sing, "You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine." This morning, I'm sitting around the table, and Core has a station he listens to, K-Love, and what comes on but a little girl singing, "You Are My Sunshine." Like, oh, Dad, you know. But then he would sing, what was the other one he would love to, "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder." That's another favorite. No, that was Wilf Carter, but he loved to sing, not so much in his later years. So I would just love you guys just to come and stand with us as we sing some of the favorite songs that meant something to Dad. As the last day in the hospital on Monday, we just played these hymns for him because that's what spoke to my dad. He loved the old rugged cross, and when he sang "How Great Thou Art," he bellowed it. And so if you wouldn't mind just singing some of these songs with us as we just give tribute to Dad. Okay, thanks.
Just as the musicians are coming, I just have a quick thought for you. I had lots of chances to have coffee with EB. Seth, it's all right. I know you want to sing. It's all good. had a lot of chances to have coffee with EB. He never said no to a free double-double, right? So, but after one of our visits, just him sharing about his life and his kids, I happened to be reading through Acts after that visit, and I came across this verse, and I just thought it's such a good description. It was describing a guy named Barnabas, but I just felt it so well describes EB as well. It's Acts 11:24. It said this, "Barnabas," or "he, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord." And I know that EB was a man strong in faith. He loved the Lord, and he loved his church. Yeah, he would tell us, "You don't have a bathroom that's easy to get to, and the preacher talks too fast." And I'm like, I'm right here. But he rarely missed a service. Henry reminded me that EB actually one year attended more services than I did, and I work here. And so we gave him this big basket of peppermints, and sure enough, he went to the pier and showed everybody at the pier, "This is what the church gave me because I had the best attendance this year." And but you know what? I know as talking to him after the last couple times, he just said, you know, it was the thing that he loved, being here to worship together with his family, whether it was here or wherever. He loved worshiping with his family, and it was his hope that his family would worship together after he was gone. He told me, that's what I want to happen, and so it's really neat that we get to honor that wish today. So would you join us?
With blood so divine, the one. I could hear him singing with us this morning. This next song is a familiar maybe to some of you, but it's a modern version of the hymn It Is Well. He is happy. He is in heaven. We are jealous of him. But this song is about we're still left here to mourn, and we won't be hearing, "Well, hello there, Rachel." We won't hear that anymore. But being of a Christian faith, we have hope, and we know we'll see him again. So as we sing this song, just remember that through anything that life throws at us, our eyes are fixed on him, and he will carry us through.
The sound of his voice. will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well.
Ask Charlie and Becky to come share.
Wow, I was right. Anyway, one of the things that Dad had taught me was that it's okay for big boys to cry. And so as I was sitting there, I said to Sharon, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. But it is well with my soul, and I think we can do it. But as I was meditating on what I was going to say about Dad, you know, Dad had a small name, Ebi Berksma. And you know, we're going to put a lot of labels, letters behind his name today. And he'll have a long name by the time we're done here today. But you know, I was reminded this morning, I had to ship pigs early this morning, and as I was meditating on this, the Lord reminded me, what kind of people did he pick for his disciples? Fishermen. And you know, it just hit me that Dad was a fisherman, simple, down to earth, plain as you can find him, and he was my mentor. He was the disciple that God put in my life over 40 years ago. And I was fortunate to be married to his oldest daughter, and we had 25 good years together. But he was the model for me to show me what kind of a father was, what a husband was. Because, you know, when you watched him and how he was around Shirley, his wife, he treated her like a queen. And, you know, I've learned if you treat him like a queen, they're going to treat you like a king. And he had that figured out. And, you know, he was such the honey-do list that Shirley had for him was always fairly long. But it didn't matter to Ebi. It didn't matter how long it was. He just made sure he would get it done for her. And, you know, it's right. We never were son-in-laws. We were always sons to him. He treated us, I would say, he treated us like we were special all the time to him. It was about 4 or 5 years, every Friday we'd go for breakfast. I'd go for breakfast with him, and it was kind of a highlight of my week, but I'm sure it was of his too, because we could reminisce. And Dad, after he retired, I had an equipment business, and he would go out and all over Ontario, basically picking up supplies for the farmers that I had sold stuff to. And that was, he just loved doing that. And when I would come to the suppliers, they'd always ask, how's Ebi? You know, if I'd show up there, how's Ebi? Where's Ebi? You know, and he built it. It's amazing. Wherever he went, he would build a relationship with these people. They just loved them. And as we've heard about the pier, you know, wherever he went, he would leave his mark. And so as I was thinking about that, a mentor. Like, so often, you know, we're raised in a home, and as our parents, we think, well, this is the way homes are supposed to be. But my dad was very much a hardworking man, and he was a breadwinner. But it was like, because he was so busy, many times we didn't see him in the house. So when I met Joanne, and I realized that, oh, men do dishes, or men do set tables, or men do, and I thought, oh, I didn't even fix my bed. That was the girl's job. And so I was, it was an eye-opener to me that, oh, we're really supposed to do that too. You know? So he was, in those ways, he taught me how to not only be a husband, but also to be there as she was our help, like Joanne was our helpmate. Your wife is your helpmate. And he taught me that, no, it's a teamwork. You work together. And so it was a learning process for me. And so... And one thing I just remember so much of him, he would get frustrated about things, and he'd talk it out, and then his last comment would be, "But I know I gotta let it go." And for people who know Dad, he could be stubborn sometimes, but that was one thing I learned from him. He never hung on to it. He'd work it through. He'd talk it out, and he would always be man enough to forgive and make up. And as we heard, even when he disciplined, it hurt him more to discipline his kids than it did to, so he would always go back and say, any part that I did wrong, forgive me, you know, and that's what I found so much. And he taught me so much on what being humble is. He was such a humble man. He, one of the when he worked for me and he would do these pickups and deliveries, he never asked for anything. The only thing he wanted was a truck, so that he could go fishing after he was done doing his run. So I always supplied him with a pickup truck so he could go fishing, and that was all he asked of me. And so to have a dad, a father like that, mentor, like the girl said, it's so much easier to look at your Heavenly Father and that unconditional love. He loved you for whatever you were going through. He was there for you.
Becky. I am a daughter of Evie's oldest daughter, Joanne. And it's been such a crazy feeling for all of us, all having all these great get-togethers with the funeral and all, and not being able to see his big grin amongst the crowd. We keep catching ourselves for a split second, like wondering, where is he? But yeah, that's going to take some time to get used to. He really has that presence about him, that rare quality not many possess, one that affects so many people in such a variety of walks. From the pier in Dover to the home in Townsend, from church, the Dutch community, his large circle of friends and family, from whatever walk of life you knew Paco or Ibi, we all got to experience that same rare presence, one of a true genuine heart of love for people, all people. He truly lived in that moment with you, and in that time he spent with you, you were all that mattered. And that's why we are all here today, because we all have experienced that love in one way or another. This is the impact you leave when you loved as God loves. You see, it's not just those related to him by blood that celebrate this man, and it's not just those related by blood that called him dad or paka or brother. His heart was actually big enough for all who wanted to receive. Whether it was just a look with his loving eyes, a nod and a smirk with his kind smile, a handful of candy, some fried perch, or his ever so famous side squeeze hugs, love radiated off of him. You see, it really didn't matter who you were, where you been, when you saw him last, or how often you saw him. He kept no records. He never kept a score. His love was pure. It was unconditional. He loved us all the same. Sorry, I have a little side note. I have a quick little side note that has also really hit me this week that I wanted to share. Mostly what I had written about Paca and what we've all been talking about Paca has been his great example of God's love for us. But as I have been pondering over his life, I've also really seen how God has had his hand in orchestrating Paca's life. Although he has had his fair share of sorrow throughout his long life, of losing a father at a young age, he had to watch his beloved bride, as well as his oldest daughter, lose the battle to cancer, just to mention a few, still yet he sang of God's goodness, because he had that kind of faith. It was unshakable. God never left his side, and he believed it was God's hands that made it possible to even slip onto the boat to Canada and avoid the war. And I believe it was God's hand bringing his youngest daughter, her husband, Uncle Joe. For he knew the strength that Aunt Lori would need later on in life, being her parents' primary caregiver. I believe it was God's hand that brought Joe and Lori to be able to build right beside Pac and Grandma. For in that time, while Grandma was failing and at her very lowest, it was Uncle Joe who would go at any time of the day or night to help in any way possible, calming her, scooping her into his arms, supporting Paca. It was not an easy thing to watch your mother or wife endure. Uncle Joe was their rock. And also God's hand that when Paca lay to rest his beloved bride, he was able to fill that lonely void with three special granddaughters right next door. That would come for tea after school most days, that incorporated him into their daily lives, and of course that little sparkle to his eye, Miss Bella. You gave him such joy. In all my life, I have never seen Paca swim, and here I see this picture at the funeral home of him in a pool with young Bella. And he was laughing like he was the little girl in the floaty. So how special is that? Not only was he able to have his family so close to him, surrounded and loved by all his grandkids, as well as grandchildren. How many grandfathers get to have a Monday morning coffee with a group of his daughters, grandkids, large number of great-grandkids every week? Yeah, he did. He truly treasured all those visits. It was the highlight of his week. He also had some faithful fishing partners, certain granddaughters that loved to dote on him. Seriously, he was that guy. A celebrity wherever he wandered. Church, he was the candy man at Port Dover, he was the fisherman, and all his favorite diners. They knew him. His presence was known. And once his health started to fail, he was surrounded by so, so many people. So I found it really suiting that then, in Paca's last night, it was Uncle Joe that was to relieve the ladies, and he even joked to Paca, saying, now they have all left, and we can finally get some quiet in here. And I believe Paca felt that comforting presence. It was there in that quiet, once again, sat the rock and watched as Paca's spirit was peacefully ushered into eternity. So we can see God's plan in this. I do, however, have the privilege of being his granddaughter. My memories of him go so far back. I remember him bringing over cooked meals, and if anybody knew my mom, she did not like to eat them very much. So he would bring her over Bruderkohl, even well in later in her years, and he was still trying to get her to eat. And as a little girl, he made me feel so special, and I'm sure a lot of his daughters and granddaughters feel the same way. And that was huge for me, and through all my years, there was nothing I could do that would ever change that. I knew I could always feel loved and beautiful when looking into his eyes, embracing his side hugs, listening to him whisper, "I love you, Becky." I never once doubted that. He was my earthly example of a heavenly father. He lived his life walking in the same footsteps as his loving Savior, Jesus Christ. This steadfast man has left a big hole in our family, and we are all so grateful that we have so many great memories to fill that void with. We rejoice knowing he is reunited with his wife and his eldest daughter, my mother, as well as so many more loved ones in his final resting home. It makes us happy knowing my mom has him again. If I had to find one word to sum up my Paka, it would be love. He left us a legacy of love.
Can ask the grandkids to come and sing about that. Yes, you, Reuben. Here you go, buddy.
I get to explain. About 20 years ago, we sang this song all together. Yep. Yeah, you definitely weren't in the back row that tall. for Paka, and I'm pretty sure it was Aunt Jo that spearheaded this whole and, you know, told us all we needed to sing this song. It's actually from the show Touched by an Angel, and Wynonna Judd is, you know, known to sing it. She's not singing. That's my voice you're going to be hearing soon. we're going to just honor him with that song and sing it all together because we're all here. But now, where can I hide in here?
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind. Every dream that reaches out to find where love begins. Every word of every story, every star and every sky, every corner of creation lives to testify. As long as I shall live, I will testify to love. I'll be a witness in the silence. There's words not enough. With every breath I take, we'll give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to that reaches out, every hand that reaches out.
Amazing. What a family, eh? What a family. And I think, you know, you just hear those words. I know it says message in your program right now, but, I mean, you've really heard the essence of EB's life, and you've seen it in his family. And I got to say, you guys grieve well. You celebrate well. Testify to love means give evidence of love, and it's no shortage. We could spend the rest of the day here of the EB stories of how he showed that love. Just things echoed. My kids, when I explained to them that EB had passed away, my son Maddox was in tears right away. I want to go there now. I'm like, he's in heaven. I don't care. I want to go there now. I miss him. And I'm like, wow. And he's like, now there's not going to be any more Skittles at Kingsway. But he could tell me exactly where EB sat, and he could tell me exactly how many Skittles he got last time, which was 5, but someone else got more because maybe EB did have favorites. I don't know. But I thought just real quick, I know he loved his Dutch heritage as well. He would talk about Holland and Frieskadij, and he would, you know, he's always having Dutch treats to offer, and he was a little bit, well, he was Dutch. I remember taking him out for dinner to Port Dover. I took him out for lunch one day, and we sat down at his favorite spot, and the waitress came over, and like they said, they knew him. They're like, so, he said, so, EB, right away, EB, you going to have your regular today? Like, oh, no, he's paying, so I'm having the big one. He got the whole perch platter, couldn't eat it, took half of it home for dinner the next day, but thank you for that memory, EB, for sure. I always enjoyed visiting him. It was kind of always, like, I had to schedule it because he's like, no, Monday doesn't work. I have my kids coming over. No, Tuesday, I'm going fishing. Wednesday, you know, Charlie's taking me out, whatever. So I was like, okay, well, maybe next week. And normally, it's never that way, but just such a true thing. He was so proud of you guys. So proud of you. Like, every time I was there, whoever had been there most recently, he talked about all the time. I heard about what Joe was building, Lori in school, Henry's latest contraption at his house. I heard about you guys as kids, you know, all of the stuff that you guys were going through. He listened to every word, and he would tell it proudly. Just know that. I know you know he loved you, but just never forget just how much he loved you. That is something incredibly special, that he'd have a relationship with each and every one of you and maintain that. Incredible. Something to be remembered, something to be an inspiration to us. Thinking about EB as a really courageous man, and I kind of want to leave you just these last couple thoughts. You know, when he had his heart condition, had surgery, and had other things, you know, I heard, I think it was, he was 28 when he had his first heart attack, and I think, you know, from then on, living on borrowed time, 60 years of borrowed time. But I wondered something. I wonder if that's not part of the reason why he lived the way he lived. That each and every day, you hear that Tim McGraw song, Live Like You Were Dying, you know, like, I'm going to offer forgiveness. I've been denying. I'm going to go sky. Well, I don't know if he did that. But, you know, I really believe that he lived that out. I don't think he lived that out so people would have a great thing to say at his funeral. I think because he lived that out, there's great things to say at his funeral. And I would encourage you with that. If there's anything you can take from it, would be that same thing, that you can live today for the gift that it is and realize that the people in your life are way more important than anything else. Definitely something inspiring to me. And I had lots of verses and I had lots of other things, but I just want to leave you with this thought. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says this, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe," this is why, "since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again," which we celebrate at Easter, "we also believe that when Jesus returns, God's going to bring back with him the believers. He's going to bring back EB, the ones who have died. So encourage each other with these words. Remind one another that heaven's not just this cool idea. It's a real place, and EB is really there. He is really alive, enjoying life to the fullest right now." What an amazing, amazing truth. A guy named D.L. Moody, famous evangelist, wrote the following. He said, "Soon you'll read in the paper that I'm dead, but don't believe it for a minute. I'll be more alive than ever." And I believe the same is true. I know the same is true for EB. EB kind of knew that his time was getting shorter. In January, he said he had to talk to me that night. I think through Lori sent me this thing. I was about to head out on a road trip, but I stopped in there to see him. And he, as we sat together, he said, "Mark," he's like, "I'm ready to go." He's like, "I'm just going to go to bed tonight. I'm not going to wake up." And that was January. He was a little off on his timing. But he said, "Mark, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go see Shirley. I'm ready to go see Joanne. And I'm ready to go see Jesus." You know, that struck me. And he, as he talked to me about what this day was supposed to look like, and he gave me some instructions, one of the thoughts was that he said, just make, you know, that thought of make sure that they're ready. He said, I'm ready to go see Jesus. Make sure they're ready. I'm like, I can't make sure anybody's ready, but you can. So the question today for you is this. EB was ready. He was living ready. But are you ready? Are you ready if today was to be your last day? We think, you know, life's so quick. Even 90 years, it's quick. It just goes by so fast. Are you ready today? Because the truth about Easter is that God did send his son so that you could have relationship with a heavenly father. Jesus didn't come so you could go to church or keep rules. He came that you could really live like Ebi lived, show love, that the love that you've been given. Powerful, powerful example, but not just an example, something that can be true for you. Are you ready? You can be today. We're going to close with a song, and I just want to read the lyrics to you as the musicians come up. Jesus said that he's going to go prepare a place for you, that by trusting in him, you could spend eternity with him, experience a relationship that doesn't end. There'll never be tears over those relationships because we know they don't end. The words of this last song are this. He took my sin. He took my sorrow. He made them his very own. He bore that burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. When with the ransomed in glory his face at last I'll see, it will be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. I know Evie's prayer for you and mine for you and our hope for you is that you would just genuinely know and experience the fact that God loves you incredibly. We're going to sing a song today as we kind of have our last song called How Marvelous, How Wonderful is My Savior's Love for Me. If you don't know that love, I just encourage you to just open your heart to him and say, God, I'm here. Would you just show me what it means that I am loved? Fill my heart with you. It'd make the difference in my life. Stand with us.
How marvelous.
seats. Just a couple thoughts in closing. We have a couple announcements. We'd love for you all to stay here and hang out. We used to have a fellowship hall in the basement, and we turned it into a ball pit. So feel free to hang out there, too. But please help yourself to food and lunch here, and just bring it right on in here. This is our house. This is kind of where our family hangs out. And if you're here, you're family. So enjoy the run of the place. As well, if you're looking for the bathrooms, they're difficult to get to. You can take the stage, but then everyone knows you needed it. So you can also go down through the basement, up the stairs, and go through the back there as well. Just want to say today's one of those days where you kind of, you know, maybe you needed one of those side hugs of comfort from EB, and he's not here to give it, but there's others here. So would you do that? Would you encourage one another? Would you share the stories, the memories? It brings incredible amount of comfort. The words of the Lord bring incredible amount of comfort, and we're thankful for that. I just want to say thank you to you guys for the opportunity to honor this amazing man, to be part of your family for this day, and to be able to have, you know, that you guys shared EB with some of us. You know, there was time for us to have friends with him, and I know that I can say that. Farewell, my friend. I'll see you when I get home. I hope you can say the same. Can we pray? Father, thanks for today. Thank you for this amazing time with you. Thank you for your presence in this place all over us today. It's just great. Thank you. Thank you for that. I pray for each member of this family as they go from this place to a new normal, to just a different life without EB. But God, that they would realize and always know they're never alone, that you are with them, that same love, that same unconditional love that can flood their hearts, and not only theirs, but reach out to others as a result. May they live out his legacy. May we live out that legacy because of what EB's done, but also because of what you've done for us. Thank you for that. Thank you for this food, for taking such good care of us. God, we just want to honor you with the rest of this day as well. We know it's from you, so it's in your name we pray and for your glory. Amen.